With lightning in his hand and steel in his eyes, his trigger finger never hesitates. A lone figure in the dust, quicker than a shadow, deadlier than a storm. He lives by the bullet, where every showdown could be his last, but it never is. His legend is written in gunpowder and blood, every shot echoing through history. In a world where a heartbeat can cost you everything, he's always a step ahead of death. DJ Outlaw.
Good afternoon. It is currently 4:08. I'm your host, DJ Outlaw, better known as Navy Seaman Jacob Hart. Don't forget to go on over to AFN Sigonello's Facebook or Instagram and answer our question of the day. In your opinion, what are the signs that someone is a terrible driver? Here in the studio, we have Anna from Stars and Stripes. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. First session of the year.
And welcome back. Did you have a great holiday?
Yeah.
It was meh?
Yeah, it was meh. Had fun.
All right, so before we start off the show, would you like to answer our question of the day? What do you think makes a terrible driver?
See, and that's where it comes to this. Are we talking about living here, or are we talking about back home in the States? Because I'm from California, so also from San Diego. So I'm like, coming here was a breeze. But also, I would classify bad drivers very differently. Because like back home, on the freeway, if you were not going fast enough, you are a bad driver.
That's
get out of lane 1 and 2 on the freeway. Versus here, you have to be defensive, but also offensive, because if you don't, you will be in an accident. And that is terrifying here.
That's the facts of it. I feel like there's no rules of the road here.
No, but my biggest thing that always makes me so mad is when on the opposite side, they're passing. When you're like right there, I'm like, why couldn't you just wait? Like no one's behind you and then they just want to pass. I'm like, okay, thanks for scaring me.
That's facts. Sicily is not for the timid hearted when it comes to driving.
No, but it's fine for me. I'm not bothered by it. I'm just like, okay. Va bene.
Va bene. You're listening to 105.9 AFN Sigonella, the station serving you America's best. Welcome back to the studio. I'm here with Anna from Stars and Stripes. And what have we got going on here, Anna?
Yeah, so we're talking about the most resourceful guide specifically for here, which is our Welcome to Sigonella guide. And I love talking about this because this is one of those things that I found by myself before we even moved here. I was that person that we found out that we were coming here and I immediately started Googling everything.
I did the same thing. So.
Husband didn't really care about it. I was like, I need to know everything. I wanted to know everything. And unbeknownst to me, I am now working for the company that puts out the guide, which was weird because I didn't even realize that they were connected. So when I was interviewing for this job, my business manager asked, like, oh, like, have you ever seen any of our things? And I was like, oh, I know you guys, like, are a newspaper organization. He's like, oh, like, you've never seen any of our publications. And I was like, I don't know. Like, what are they? Like, I'm just being totally honest. And he's like, well, when you were moving, did you ever see, like, a Welcome to Sigonella guide? And I was like, yeah, I loved that thing. Like, it had so much great resources. And he was like, yeah, that's us. And I was like, oh.
Came full circle.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's good for me because at least I know how helpful that resource was. And, like, one of my favorite things is, A, it's free. It also gets updated every single year. And then we work with the PAO office here, so it is always updated. It is supposed to be correct every single year because we do update it every single year. But what's also fun is that there's local advertisements in like our publication that gives you some ideas of where you can be going and trying like new places on the economy. So like if you found this magazine before you got here, there's actually like TLA options if you can't get into Marinai immediately and like the lodge is full. We actually have like a couple of different places that most people already know about, but without knowing like previously, or like somebody, like you don't have the best sponsor and like you actually find this magazine by yourself, you can find out so much information because there's even like pre-moving checklists in this. Super helpful. And like I said, it gets updated every single year. We have resources for everything, whether it's like for school, we have pet resource information in that, like regulations for all of that. But like my favorite thing to point out, because I do talk about this in Indoc and Spouse Indoc, is that if you open it up to a certain page, there's actually like helpful Italian phrases. But also being overseas, we have now the European like sizing charts. We have that in the like in the magazine. So it's like super easy to like flip to and read about that. But there's also like short stories of what you can be doing on the island itself. So this magazine is so encompassing to learn everything about here, and it's such a great resource that I think people don't know about until someone actually like hands it to them, or they're like me and they start Googling everything and it pops up.
I don't think I knew about it. I've been here for 6 months.
Yeah.
Where can I find one of these?
Yeah, so if you ever want to look for any of them, if you are completely new and I am not on vacation, I do give them out at Indoc and Spouse Indoc if you are a spouse that attends. But if you miss any of that, or if I miss you, you can always grab them inside of the commissary, the food court, the office of like housing and fleet and family. They have a little shelf too. We're working on getting them into the hospital. And for anyone that is unaccompanied and they're living in the barracks, we're actually working on getting them into the barracks as well. So we're covering all of our bases. We're putting them in everywhere.
That'd be great for personnel to know what's going on around here.
Yeah, there's even a phone directory, which I know everyone's always asking for phone numbers, so
there you go. That would be useful.
It's Yellow Pages.
The Yellow Pages of Sigonella. So what have you found most useful about the Welcome to Sigonella Guide?
What I find the most useful is that there's actually like tow services in it, and other things that almost everyone always asks for on like Siglist, which I'm like, if you guys would just look in this resource that we created perfectly for you, you would have all of these answers. But also, like I said earlier, I really love the it's like a full page spread of translations of just like like casual Italian phrases, but also the translation of sizes of like foot size, and it goes into like kids, women's and men, like shoe sizes and like clothing sizes. I think that's like one of the best parts of it because you can rip it off. I also like pointing out that I think it's like literally the first page, there's like a 10% coupon for the outlets, which people, I say that to people and they're like, we have outlets here? I'm like, yes we do, but we also have a 10% off.
You can't argue with free money.
You can't argue with a free magazine being presented to you with a coupon
and all the information you could possibly need for a Welcome to Sigonella Guide.
Exactly, all in one little spot. It's a great little resource.
It's so funny that you found this magazine before you got a job at Stars and Stripes.
Oh, yeah.
And realized that you would be the one helping
you
put it together.
You have no idea. When I was sitting through that interview, he was telling me about it and I was like, wait, I found this.
It was meant to be.
It's pretty fun talking about it because I think it's just so ironic.
Well, we've got some more things to talk about that are just as fun if you keep it right here on 105.9 AFN Sigonella, the station serving you America's best. Welcome back to the studio. I'm here with Anna from Stars and Stripes. And I'm sure you've all noticed with winter setting in, the snow on Mount Etna, and I can't tell you how homesick it makes me for snowboarding in Park City. And that's why this next bit is so special. What have you got for us?
Yeah, so Stars and Stripes loves being your travel inspiration. That's why we have a full travel magazine that changes every 6 months. So if you ever want some updated fun information that you can find online, it's always available at stripeseurope.com. But right now we're talking about some family-friendly ski destinations. So luckily for everyone, you can right now ski and snowboard on Etna. I have some friends that just did it on Monday. They just went and they had a blast, because it's pretty cool to say that you went on an active volcano.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool thing. You can get to go home and be like, yeah, I did this. But while you're also here, instead of just saying that you went on a volcano that had snow on it, we also have some fun little family-friendly ski resorts that maybe you still have some time to check out. Because, I mean, winter is longer than I feel like we all like to accept. Because it snows until, like, March. I remember last year, Etna was snow-topped until March-ish, and that was still, like, a dry year. So you definitely still have some time. You may not make it to spring break, but if you want to go for President's Day, or even if you are fully capable of planning and scheduling a trip for in, like, 2 weeks for the next 4 days for some people, maybe you want to listen and figure out where you want to go. So one of the ones that would be pretty cool to go skiing and snowboarding is there's a resort in Andorra, which I had to Google where Andorra was.
Yeah, where is it?
It is a small country in between France and Spain.
There's a country between France
and Spain? Yeah, it's like super small.
Okay.
I read Andorra and said, this isn't real. It is. And you can go skiing and snowboarding there. And with how small this country is, you can also, you know, hit up France and Spain. And it is in the Pyrenees, like, mountain range. So they're actually known for some fantastic skiing if you love to ski. But this place isn't just for, you know, people that are experts. This is actually one of those places that people recommend to go if you want to, like, teach some people or if you're still, like, a beginner, because it is so friendly and the resort itself is very quiet. And because of where it is a lot cheaper than other resorts, and specifically cheaper than French, which I have also realized. European skiing and snowboarding culture is very different
than ours.
Yeah,
absolutely. We're X Games, shred half pipe. Oh my gosh,
well,
Sean White. All
they
the
go
way.
Up there and they just want to party and then go back down.
They don't.
Yeah, they're not going X Game mode. They're just kind of going for the thing, and it's also a lot cheaper here. So I know. Growing up in Southern California, it was like a full-on, like, you're going to the snow, which I know so many people make fun of Southern Californians, or Californians in general, to say, we're going to the snow, because it really is, like, we are going to the snow. We are traveling. It is a vacation, versus some people are going, like, 30 minutes up a mountain.
Where would you guys? You go, like, to Bear Mountain or Lake Tahoe?
Yeah,
area?
Bear Mountain, Big Bear, Mammoth if you were really driving far. But yeah, for my family it was a Big Bear, and I have never gone actually snowboarding or skiing. We were a sled family and, like, hang out in the cabin versus me and a friend, we actually did a road trip into Arizona and, like, southern Utah, and for some reason we both just kind of looked at each other. It was December, so it was snowing, but we were like, you know what, let's go try to teach ourselves how to snowboard on the snow bowl in Arizona. Yeah, no, don't do that. Wouldn't recommend doing that. And we were definitely, like, 18 or 19 trying to figure out how to do this by ourselves. I think we literally pulled up a YouTube video on the mountain. We were like, this isn't going well. And we just kind of gave up.
You're putting on your binds and, like, oh, yeah. This is a bad idea.
Yeah, it's totally such a bad idea. I have bad knees. And I was like, I feel like I'm going to tear something, actually. So we're not going to do this by ourselves without lessons.
That's so funny.
So if you want to do some lessons, they actually do recommend that this resort in Andorra to check out, because their lessons are actually offered in English, which... maybe you were afraid that they were going to speak, like, Spanish or French. They speak English. And for people like me, that has never done this, maybe you want to check out some snowshoe trails, or maybe you want to go sledding or snowmobiling. Andorra is apparently the place to be if you want to try some variety of terrain. But if you want to go a little bit farther, if you want to try the Alps, we have some French Alp recommendations called La Plage, and they actually do a ski in, ski out, which I don't know what that means.
It sounds almost like cross-track skiing all the way into the mountains, do your thing. That sounds like way too like much
this,
work.
I'm looking at the Utah boy in front of me like, you need to explain this part to me because I don't know.
Well, to me, it sounds like you're going to ski into the resort, do your thing, and then you're going to have to ski all the way back out, which...
Yeah, that's...
I like my four-wheel drive, get to the chairlift, take me up the mountain, let me go down, take me back up the mountain.
Yeah, that's not for me, but there is one thing that I did see that there is in the Ostel Alps, which is near the Italian border in Austria itself. They have some of the highest terrain in the country of Austria, so this place has 25 lifts, and it is a total of 112 kilometers of potential runs that you can do. So there's a variety of beginner and intermediate spots, and they also have free transportation, and also the lovely ski in, ski out options that we totally love. Right. But it does make apparently traveling very easy over there. And I mean, they also have ice skating. They have tobogganing.
A toboggan sled would be cool. I've always wanted to try it, but I haven't.
Now you can go to Obergurgl in Austria and go toboggan down some Austrian Alps.
That sounds like a good idea.
Maybe that's what you want to do. You would have never done that if you stayed living in Utah.
Nope. I'm going to go to Austria and ride a toboggan sled.
But if you can go to so many places. There's so many places in France because you have the crazy mountain of Mont Blanc. You have so many other places because Italy has their own Alps. France has their own Alps. The Swiss has their Alps. You can go to so many places, and we can't go through all of them, but we do have 7 options from this article that if you want to learn some more about it, just check it out on stripeseurope.com and just search family-friendly ski destinations, and you can look at the article that we were talking about right now.
You heard it here, and if you are looking for a close, easy to get to, try to get out there and shred some of the powder, just get up to Mount Etna. It's like literally 30 minutes away. But as you heard from Stars and Stripes here with Anna, there are a lot of options all through the Alps, all the way to this tiny country. Keep it right here. You're listening to 105.9 AFN The Eagle. Welcome back to the studio. I'm here with Anna from Stars and Stripes, and we've got some fantastic information about libraries here for you.
Yeah, so I think this is like a little call to action to anyone that has decided that they are adding read more books to their New Year's resolution.
This is a pretty good one.
It is a good one. I personally read a lot already. So one of my goals specifically with reading was to actually read more nonfiction, because I hate nonfiction. I am not one of those people that are like, I love these self-help books.
So you're pushing the boundaries for autobiographies?
I don't like any of those. I will read them. I'll read some like the popular like memoirs and like some of like the self-helps, but I have put on myself that I will read a nonfiction book at least one every quarter, meaning I will read 4 by the end of the year.
Wow.
Which I think is not honestly bad. Last year I read 83 books.
That actually is, that's extremely impressive considering I read maybe 1.
Yeah, I read a lot. I read every single day. Mostly when I'm like going to bed. So sometimes it's like 5 pages because I'm like actually falling asleep while reading. But sometimes I'm like staying. It's like I start reading at 9 o'clock and then I'm like, oh no, I am at 80% of my book and it's 11:30. Must finished book. And then I'm going to bed at like 1 or 2 a.m. And I'm like, oh, man. Yeah, I have a problem. That's how I read 83 books. But I know some people, you're judging me. For all the listeners, he is judging me so much. But I can judge you for only reading one book.
I just want to know what you're reading that is so good to keep you up till 2 o'clock in the morning.
I just read a lot of different fiction. So, like, I got into, and it's so annoying, but it is so true. I got into, like, romance sports last year, and it was like in this chokehold that I couldn't get out of it. And I was trying to read other like mystery and thrillers, but
50 Shades of Soccer.
No. But it was a lot of hockey. And hockey. I was like, I'm not this person at all. And that world of reading is just so funny. But I mean, hey, I'm reading a lot. But I do like reading thrillers and mysteries, even though I am somebody that hates horror movies. But give me like a thriller book and I'm good.
Like Stephen King?
You know, I haven't read Stephen King in a really long time. I used to read him like early college. So it's been a while. But I used to read a lot of even Lee Price. Like, I think it's Lee Price. All of those books are so fun, but we also have a fun article that is all about some libraries that you can visit while you're here in Europe chasing your little resolution goal of reading some more books. Because I think what is fun about Europe itself is just that there's so much fun, like influence from even just like the Renaissance or even like the Baroque architecture. You see so much beautiful buildings and like churches, but no one ever talks about libraries.
No, they really don't.
They really don't.
Maybe you think about like the Library of Alexandria, but that's not here anymore. That's gone.
You said that. I was like, I don't even think about that. No.
You don't?
Like,
oh, never mind.
I think that's like one of those like random guy thoughts that guys are like obsessed with, like World War II or like certain like themes. Yeah, no. I've never thought about any of that. But if you want to change some ideas of what you can see, there are some fun places that we can recommend, and one of them being in Austria, which Austria itself is such a beautiful spot, and I would highly recommend visiting Austria at any point in the year, honestly, because I did it in January, and even though it was freezing cold, it was still beautiful. But there is a library called Admont Abbey, and it actually sits in a Benedictine monastery. So it is the largest monastic library in the world, and it was completed in 1776, which is wild.
That is pretty freaking crazy.
Yeah, and it actually has 70,000 volumes of the ideas of the Enlightenment.
Oh my gosh.
Just imagine seeing that many books just about one specific topic.
The Enlightenment?
The Enlightenment.
What is the Enlightenment?
Oh, man. I don't remember. That was like 12 plus years for me. The Enlightenment era? You don't remember that from like high school? Is that,
no.
Was that not in your curriculum?
No, we read of mice and men.
Well, there's definitely like a historical period of the Enlightenment, but away from the 70,000 books that this library has, there is also some beautiful art, and there's some frescoes, and there's even 48 windows that are apparently this beautiful masterpiece from the sculptor of Joseph Stommel, and there's even some wood carvings in the library, and they actually consist of the figures that represent death, judgment, heaven, and hell, which I feel like is very...
That's pretty punk rock for a library.
For a monastic library. Yeah. They're like bringing everything into this library, which is pretty freaking cool. It's pretty cool. I don't know where this is in Admont, Austria, but I'm going to Google it and look it up to see where it is in the area of it. But if you are going to Dublin, there is also Trinity College, which I have heard of Trinity College, but apparently Trinity College has a beautiful library that people love, and it transports you back into the 18th century because there's this big chamber and it's called the Long Room, and it is filled with 200,000 books on some beautiful oak shelves, and it is a vaulted ceiling. Whoa, that is beautiful.
So I just pulled up a picture of this Admont Abbey library in Austria, and I gotta say it competes with probably the best cathedrals I've seen here in Sicily. So if you are into anything like that, you should definitely check this out.
Yeah, and from what it sounds like from the old library in Trinity College, it is sounds like it is beautiful with this vaulted ceiling, 200,000 books. There are some busts in it, but also it is known, believed, thought of that it was created around 800 AD. So we just talked about
1700s.
Admont Abbey. Yeah, Admont Abbey was 1776. Old library in Trinity College is known to have been established 880.
Oh my, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be Ireland's greatest national treasure. So if you're heading over to Ireland, if you're heading over to Dublin area, maybe add this into your little itinerary.
I think the Irish greatest treasure is Irish whiskey. Libraries are a close second, I guess.
I don't know, but there's three other libraries that you can look up from this article itself and be amazed, like the two of us are currently. And if you want to check it out, like I said, it's always available at stripeseurope.com. And just Google on the little search bar, five libraries or five lavish libraries, and this article will most likely pop up for you. And you can also be amazed, just like the two of us.
You heard it right here at 105.9 AFN The Eagle. Serving you, America's best. Welcome back to the studio, and I just want to say, Anna, thank you so much for coming in. We always appreciate Stars and Stripes here. And I know that you're going to have more for us next week on Wednesday, so keep it right here. If you want more travel destinations from Stars and Stripes, they always have the best information. Again, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for always having me. It's always a fun blast, and it's every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday. Every Wednesday. Keep it right here for another hour after this news break. You're listening to 105.9 AFN Sigonella, the station serving you America's best.